podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, welcome back to Heart on Hand. This is your second free show of the week. As always, I am your host, Adam Thornton. Joining me tonight to look back on last night's emphatic 3-0 win at Tynecastle is, first of all, Martin Ramsey. How are you?
Very well, Adam. Given last night's events, good to see you.
Absolutely. And we've also got Ali Bain making a rare 40 out of Patreon into the big bad world. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Pleasure to be on.
Yes, so a good, very good show to kick us off. It's one of these ones I'm like, it's been a while since a midweek game's been this enjoyable, Martin. I think we were talking in the talking earlier on today. It's been a while since a league or a domestic game was enjoyable as that. I think the obvious one is to go back to probably the 55 season to think about some of the games within there where Rangers have just showed a complete dominance. We do, I think, tend to do well at Tynecastle in these type of games when we're on it. I know that sounds a little bit strange, but it does suit us that this kind of them sort of coming out and us being able to pick holes in them. That being said, I think what we executed last night was more about us and how we wanted to dominate. The intensity and tempo was right on it, and I thought from the first whistle we were fantastic.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that. It is one of these stadiums where if we are on it from the first whistle, then we do tend to really put in one of the best performances of the season. It's maybe when we're tentative, if you are tentative there, even if Celtic are tentative there, it can be a difficult night because they do believe they can take something. Probably a wee bit too much belief last night. We can maybe talk about Hearts if you want. It was quite an interesting approach to the game, but we were clearly at the right level of motivation. I know what you mean about the all-round performance. I mean, we won there 4-0 in September. A few at the end of the week before Seville or whatever. And we have had big scores over the last 2 years, 18 months, without the performance being as whole, as impressive as it was last night. And I know 55 obviously had its own dimension. With a crowd, I think, I can't remember who it was in the group chat last night, mentioned Easter Road and just at Christmas 2019 as being that start to finish absolute Rangers performance. And it was a bit similar. You just knew in the first few minutes, right, they're on it. What we may have feared, we've seen bursts from this Rangers team, especially at the start of, well, usually at the start of the second half, but we've been capable of starting games well the odd time. But it's how, when's this going to disappear? Can we capitalise when we have it? But there just wasn't that much of a lull, was there? It was something like the 90 minutes that we've been waiting for some time.
100%. Ali, I thought it was quite interesting. The manager, obviously a 3-0 win at Tynecastle. We've played really, really well. Two offside goals, a penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty anyway, but there was so many chances. But the first thing the manager picked out, Ali, and it's something that Jordan said here as well, was how pleased he was with the team out of possession. Excellent in terms of our pressing, winning the ball back, and the areas that we won the ball back in caused a lot of hassle for Hearts. What was your thoughts on that? That looked like a real sort of return to form, those games that we always talk about, maybe Porto, Benfica away, where we've just looked absolutely on it defensively. It really felt like we were getting back to that last night.
Well, I think given how aggressive Hearts' lineup was, whether that was through necessity, right, whether that was just all they had, so they played their hand early and tried to get an early goal, which, by the way, if you look at the sort of story of this season with Hearts, it's maybe a consequence of that cup final where I know they took a lot of stick for sitting in a lot, so maybe this year they've got it in their heads against us that they need to attack to try and sort of atone for that. I'm not so sure, but I think with that, there was a lot of balls down the sides. So obviously, that's the big gap in our team, right? So Hearts tried to attack those areas. So there was a lot of defending needed by the fullbacks, a lot of defending needed by the covering midfielders and the inside channels. And I thought they did that really well. Really, the only sort of note I have was at the end, pretty much the end of the game, obviously when, you know, we're fairly comfortable that Shankland has got in behind Lundstrom. But other than that, you know, for the most part, I think we defended extremely well. And then you countenance that with the massive gaps, which again, I'm sure we'll get into, the Hearts gave us. That's okay. That's one thing. But us then taking advantage of that and using connectivity, using runs, using movements to expose those spaces, I think was excellent. So really, it was the perfect storm for a good performance. And I'm just delighted that we grabbed that opportunity.
Yeah, Martin, just on that defensive side of it, if you like, I think that's 8 games in a row now that we've had the same back four. Obviously, we've changed the keeper a few times around there. And I think from memory, that's 3-4 clean sheets out of the last 5 games that we've got. That sort of settledness there, the manager said he was very, very happy with Borna Barisic in terms of his delivery last night. He said he thought that James Tavernier defensively was as on it as he's been in a while in that partnership in the middle. We know that is starting to look very, very comfortable. I guess that solidity there, I wouldn't exactly say, as Ali said, Hart's got anywhere near sort of testing is in there, but slowly but surely that's starting to be an area of the team that looks as solid as it has again in the last year or so.
No, definitely. I think the last time I was on here, we were talking about the importance of the goalkeeper and how that affects the solidity. And there was just this brief moment, wasn't there, at Ibrox against Liverpool in that first half where Davies and Goldson had started to just knock a few games out and think, right, that this could be something. And then, of course, Rangers being Rangers, that gets chopped up in the air. It's so important. You can rotate, you can mix and match in other areas of the pitch. I don't like it at centre back at all, because if you can get something that works or something that you think will work further down the line and just give it that time, that solidity then just breeds confidence around it. You're talking about the fullbacks being more defensively sound than they've looked. It's no coincidence then that they're taking that confidence and assurance from those two, because they know where they'll be. That the fiery end or the embers of Van Bronckhorst's reign, it was, you know, kit room staff were getting talked about for playing centre back at some point. It was a shambles for a variety of reasons. That doesn't help. It doesn't help that solidity. It doesn't help that awareness of where everyone is going to be. And if I move forward, I know that someone else is going to be where I need them to be. That's exactly what 55 was based on. And long may that continue, because we can't do anything without that kind of assurance.
Ali, lots of love in the comments for Glenn Kamara and John Lundstrom. I asked the manager today. I felt like they really set that tempo. We talk about winning the ball back and winning the ball back high. The two of them with Tillman, to me, were key in that, particularly winning the ball back in those good areas. I'm thinking about the chance that Kent laid on for Kamara, who cut it back just before half-time, and then the Lundstrom chance as well. Those come from our players winning the ball back in key areas. Again, we can talk about Hart's approach, etc., but the intensity and tempo that they gave us in there, I thought, really set the tone. He said, the manager said today when I asked him that, he said he felt like we've got our legs back. They've came through a tough schedule and we're really moving into a sort of one game a week cycle. We have to give credit where it's due. I know we've spoken about the midfield a lot in terms of what they can and what they can't do, but when they're on it to that extent, I think we can see just how good both of them are.
I guess because you also need to look at the ground they're covering, right? So when you talk about defending, when you think about just those individual actions of making tackles without giving fouls away, or tracking runners so maybe they don't get the ball, right? So if Mackay last night is making a forward run, Lundstrom picking it up so they have to go somewhere else to maybe a lesser player or less talented footballer, those are the sort of things that go unnoticed. But when I talk about the ground they're covering, I mean, at times last night, and Tillman did a really good job of breaking forward and getting back as well, to be fair, but the realities are, these two lads are covering not only the fullbacks at times, but the midfield in front of them are covering in transition to get press high and press the ball as well. So when you think about that sort of 360 view of the defensive role, this isn't just two lads covering space as we shift left to right 30 yards from our goal, like, you know, the majority of the midfielders in the league, or certainly the majority of defensive midfielders in the league. We're asking them to do a lot of different things. And what I was really glad about with Kamara last night was we started to see not just defending to block a tackle, but it was defending to quickly start an attack, right? So it's a quick interception or a quick turnover that sparks something else going forward. And I think that's what I think we've been missing a lot in midfield. Again, for a variety of reasons, right? But I think specifically to last night, it was good because, again, the way Hearts attacked on the outside, you're covering a lot of space in the middle, right? So there's three of our guys versus three of theirs, plus the attackers coming in, so there's a lot of bodies. So like I say, a lot to do, and I thought the boys came out really on top, for sure.
Adam, sorry, in your view, is this a coincidence then about legs just coming at the right time? Because he's spoken about, I think everyone is understood, we were not fit enough when Beale arrived. A lot of work to do on that, which doesn't happen, you don't see the effects of that instantly. Loads of football to play, now we're kind of back into maybe a bit more of a relaxed schedule. Is it just coincidence that last night all of a sudden they feel a lot more energetic just because of the results of maybe 2 months of different work, or the results of a new first pick, first team midfielder coming through the door, and all of a sudden they said, no, I can make a 10-yard pass. Sorry, I was just messing about before. I do remember how to do all these things that I used to do last season. It just seems mighty, mighty coincidental for me.
That was my next question to you, so I'm happy to answer it myself. I think it has to be a factor, doesn't it? Ali will know better than us. If you've got three guys in there, and Kamara, Jack and Lundstrom, who know that all three of them have had their injury issues this year, so if two of them are playing and the other one isn't, they know 50-60% sure I'm definitely going to play in the next couple of games. So maybe that sort of gets into your head a little bit. We've seen how highly rated Raskin is. There's absolutely no guarantees about any of this stuff. We know we overhype players when they join, and they probably won't ever meet the expectations that we give them in those couple of weeks when we're chasing them. But I think it has to have a factor. But also, again, to go back to the press conference today, the manager said, and again, he was at great pains to say this, I was very disappointed with the last 20 minutes against St Johnson. I changed the shape, and after that, I thought we looked dreadful out of possession. We went back to what we knew last night, and we have our legs back. We have a collective understanding now. He thinks it's that intertwined with us getting our legs back in terms of fitness. I don't think there's any doubt. You've seen, as Ross says here, Bournemouth crashing into tackles last night, taking players on, beating men for pace, which I'm not sure I've seen in 2.5 years, never mind 18 months. I think it's probably just a culmination of things, Martin. I think this will be... Gerard used to talk about a block. Let's get to the next international break and let's get this block done. I reckon Beale's taking it in month blocks. Let's get to the Celtic game and let's see what happens there. And then let's get to this midweek game when it all starts to open up, when hopefully we're in a final, when we're working towards getting into the Scottish Cup later on. So possibly, I don't want to say perfect storm, but just these incremental building blocks. But yeah, I agree, the coincidence of the two midfielders turning in performances that we haven't seen in a long time is something that probably is a factor, absolutely, but I'm not complaining. Ali, as Martin said, Nico Raskin has joined. We'll do a little bit of transfer chat just now. So he's joined a 4.5-year deal. We believe around about £1 million plus 500 grand in add-ons, and then I think it's 20% of a profit sell-on if it comes. From what the manager is kind of saying, it feels like he will then go into direct competition with the three that we've mentioned, Jack, Kamara and Lundstrom, for those two slots in the team. The more I listen to the manager and the more that I've been doing a little bit of watching and reading, etc., I think we're probably looking at Raskin or Kamara and then Jack or Lundstrom as the other one. Would you agree with that, first of all? And I guess similar to what we think about Cantwell possibly being Kent's insurance policy, is this another one that Raskin is in here as almost the heir to Kamara, if you like? If Kamara does want to leave in the summer, then we've got a sort of ready-made replacement in.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the last couple of games, you've started to see a little bit more familiarity with the roles, right? They're obviously getting more used to it. You know, the prep's very similar for these games. So if we're figuring that Tillman is more the attacker, and let's say Lundstrom or Jack is more your sort of destroyer in midfield, that we've, in other shows, we've obviously spoke about those roles. I think now that Kamara start to defend deep but attack from deep and get forward, I think this could be perfect for this lad, because now you've got another building block to move the ball forward. It can now push Kent a wee bit higher. Or if you pull, let's say, Cantwell on the inside right, you've now got another builder that, you know, we can switch the ball through, and it's not just attackers in behind all the time. So I like that we've still got a footballer in there, because if you're playing, again, a Jack and a Lundstrom, there's a tendency sometimes if we're playing with two players like that together that it's just all about the tackles and the transitions. You need someone that can slow the game down, speed it up, link the play a wee bit, just keep it for a second, right, until everybody takes a breather. So the fact that Kamara's really coming onto a game, I think, has obviously helped the team. It's, you know, helped himself, because if he is sort of anchoring for a move elsewhere, he's got to start picking up his performances, right? But in terms of Raski moving forward, I think it's obviously a great sign, because there's a lot of potential with this boy. He's clearly coming in here at a level where he sees himself as an international footballer and somebody that can play at an elite level. He sees himself as a, you know, Europa League, Champions League level player. And to do that at 21, right, with, you know, I think nearly 100 pro appearances by that stage, in a first team, being a regular, not off the bench guy, you know what I mean? It says a lot for all the stick the recruitment boys get. It says a lot that we've managed to get this lad here, because it's not like the old days where we're paying 20 grand more than everybody else. You know, I'm sure he could have got more money elsewhere. So I think it's a bit of a coup. But at the same time, if we just look at this purely on a football level, I think it's the signing we've needed for a long time. Purely on a football level, just a really, really good footballer that I think can offer us a broader range to what Kamara can do, who's already a talented player. But I think this lad's got a better passing range. I think he's got a wee bit more dig to him. So it's, you know, ticks all of the boxes for me, for sure.
Yeah, Martin, another interesting thing that's been happening with Kamara in these last two games has been how far forward he's been getting. And the manager did mention that after the game on Saturday. He said he's been asking him to go a little bit beyond where he was reborn or a new Kamara, etc. Obviously, we've seen him go beyond and score. And then last night, I think I mentioned earlier on, overlapping Kent in the box, which you never really see. I wonder if that's Beale trying out that role, and maybe not the player that he wants in it, if you like, but trying out that role, like we've spoken about before on Tactics Talk. This is the role of the left-sided central midfielder. Let's bring someone in who can do it. So I wonder maybe if Kamara can keep up that consistently and give us that between now and the end of the season in conjunction with Raskin, great. But as Ali said, I really think Raskin's probably more suited to that type of role. And again, the more I hear the manager talking, the more I think that is where he'll be, that sort of left-sided number eight rather than the midfield anchor. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's not a playmaker or someone that can give us a sort of passing from deep that we need as well. So be interesting to see how that one settles down.
It will. And again, go back to the centre half thing about stability. Are we going to just keep this ticking over and with that midfield three, you won't see the same three, you know, two, 3 weeks in a row. There's benefit to that, but there are obviously drawbacks. You want as settled a side as possible. I think it's maybe the front three that you can maybe mix and match a wee bit more. So do you ease him in? Or do you say, no, we've wanted this boy straight in whenever his work permit comes through, and you know the shutter says until something different. It's going to be interesting to see how he just bleeds him into the team. And then you're right, where does he fit? Because I think we know we need a player. We've talked about it, or you guys have talked about it in Tactics Talk. I just ask the questions and shut up. But we need a midfielder who's able to take the ball from those centre halves and with his back to goal and turn and then link these two parts of the team up a lot more seamlessly than we've been doing before. Now, he can presumably do that from a variety of different positions on the pitch, so we can't be too rigid in that. But yeah, I think you're right with what he's trying to do with Kamara, and we'll maybe see him cover maybe more of the ground than maybe some expected. But back to Kamara. Kamara's such a weird one. He's capable of that. He's capable of real composure. I can't remember who missed a one-on-one on Saturday. It might have been Morelos.
Yeah, it was. He played the pass through, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of joked to my friend, is like, you'd only bank on Roof really one on one, and weirdly maybe Glenn Kamara than those one occasion or those few occasions that he finds himself one on one in the box. And lo and behold, he popped up late in the second half and was as cool as you like. There's the one at St Johnstone, of course, last season, and there is that in his locker, those ghost runs and, you know, almost Lampardian finishes. But like a lot of the great things with Kamara, we've just, and Lundstrom and Jack and all the host of players we've had here over the last 3 or 4 years, we just haven't seen it anywhere near consistent enough, and that's been the frustration.
I think the pleasing thing for me as well, just last thing on Kamara there, was we said when Beale came in, it felt like Kamara had one foot out the door, maybe literally in his sense, but then maybe even in terms of the team, he wasn't getting many opportunities, etc. But we knew Michael Beale liked him, and we knew that he would probably not want to cut his nose off to spite his face. So if a bid came in, okay, maybe we could think about it. But I think more importantly, we would rehabilitate him both in terms of maybe what he can give to the team, but also his transfer value as well. I know it's only been a few games, etc. But if you have Glenn Kamara performing and coming in and contributing to the team over the next 3, 4, 5 months, it's still a skill set that teams will want to buy. I'm not suggesting that he's going to go for 15, 20 million when he's 27, 28, but what could have been 3 million in the summer might end up being 5 or 6 million as an example. So I think that's really quite sensible as well in that space, particularly if we then have an ear coming in to really hit the ground running from the summer. Ali, obviously you are USA based. I saw the US men's national team quote tweeting the Malik Tillman song today. I asked the manager about him the other day in terms of how happy he has been with him. It is very rare we can get caught up in Bayern Munich player, nearly went to the World Cup, we're going to spend £6 million on him, etc. But he's not 21 until the end of May, Ali. And for someone to be coming in and playing the way he has a moment in every game that more often than not is an impact. I think you can have a player like Morelos, he'll have a couple of moments in a game, or Sakala, and sometimes they don't come off. But for me, Tillman has a moment in every game, and it does something for the team, whether it's a goal, whether it's an assist, whether it's something that happens in the team. For someone who, like I said, is not 21 for another 4 or 5 months, he has been fantastic for me. And I thought that goal last night is quite simple, but that's a really difficult execution when the ball's went to one side and it's getting brought back the way, just for him to even configure his body to get that in. I thought it was really, really impressive.
It was, and I think what we're seeing with this lad now under Beale, that we've started to protect him a bit more. You know, it's funny, I've heard a lot on the shows about the maybe defensive responsibility, tracking runners, all those things. And I guess really the more I look at it now, because there was a couple of instances the other night where I thought he did a really good job of you know, tracking a man, but it's maybe only over 10, 15 yards. Whereas maybe at the start of the season where our, you know, attacking shape is the full width of the field, you're asking your midfielders to really cover a lot of ground. You know, maybe just a simple answer is we just didn't protect him enough. Maybe just not good at that. You know, it's like, you know, asking, I don't know, Morelos to run the channels and put crosses in. He's not good at it, so just don't ask him to do it. So I think if we sort of are able to decipher what this lad's good at and build a role for him, which I think Beale's very good at, I think we'll be in really, really good shape with him. I think one criticism, but one sort of concern I have for a lad that's really going to that next level is, does he really have the pace to burn in terms of getting beyond the forwards, getting in the box? But when you're so instinctive from a technical perspective about beating players, about being able to carry the ball in transition, again, I'm maybe you know, working up the wrong angle with that. Maybe I'm looking at his pace as being an issue when really it doesn't need to be one, especially if he's got Sakala in front of him who can cover that ground.
Good to see, Ali. It doesn't matter if you've got pace around him. If you've got somebody who can control that and he's got vision. I mean, he could have easily, especially after nights like Anfield, for example, when he was thrown out in that, or Parkhead in September, right wing, and right wing, not kind of right sided forward. But he is, for the reasons you just mentioned, Ali, absolutely ill suited. He could have just packed it in. And because he, he got a roasting, he got a hard time on the day and from the support. There was one moment, I think it might have been a European game, it was certainly midweek, where he just stopped, just let the boy run away. Now, at this club, that's the kind of thing that burns into to fans' memory, and it doesn't matter, but it takes a long time in this kind of form to start eradicating that memory of someone who isn't trying, who isn't working and running about. This club venerate folk that run about more than anything else. And that was a difficult start for him. And I think on Saturday, he's done it before, but on Saturday against St Johnstone, the amount of times that he was breaking stuff up. And you're like, right, this boy is now really, really starting to just feel a bit comfortable or a bit more comfortable. And he's we might talk about Cantwell in a minute, but he's got composure that Kamara, something when Kamara's on it, has. And it's just priceless. The way he took that goal, Adam, you're absolutely right. The moment against Aberdeen for the in Pittodrie just before Christmas, for the winner, where he could have just, well, I've got the ball on the edge of the box, I'll just going to smash this in and see what happens. He didn't. He waited. He toyed and toyed and said, there's my moment. And he's one of those players that looks as if, in his mind, the game is going a lot slower than we're seeing it. And that's a gift. And it's going to be a very interesting one if that trajectory continues along the line it is. What we do.
Surely that's, Ali, I think your point's absolutely valid, but surely that's good team building or good squad building. We always talk about this, and it was the same years back where you'd have Tavernier bombing forward and we'd have no defensive midfielder or no one covering them. Surely if a player has, not necessarily weaknesses, but a player has something that an opposition could exploit, maybe that is Tillman's lack of pace, you cover for him. We've made a big deal over the last 18 months or so about Kent's lack of goals and assists. And we've said if we could get other players in that front three who can provide goals and assists, then it's less of an issue. So we try and minimise the weaknesses and play up the strengths by bringing in legs around them like Raskin, like Sakala, like hopefully Kamara, if he can keep that up. I guess we can protect him and we can almost do bits of that dirty work for him, but at the same time I'm not sure it's quite that he's an invalid, if that makes sense. And it was always posed to Aribo. I think there's a difference between being a defensive minded player and not tracking back or not being good out of possession. I thought Aribo was quite bad sometimes at maybe losing his runner on defensive areas, but winning the ball back, fantastic at it. So I feel like there's maybe a nuance there, and I think Tillman is probably different. He's by no means lazy off the ball. He's just got this languid style sometimes, but he can position himself in a way, as we've seen against St Johnstone and Hearts, that he can win the ball back.
Well, if you look at even last night, right, let's take the overall shape, right, the team. So we're starting off with two forwards, Kent is at 10, and then the midfield three. So right away, if you've got any issues with a lad defensively, we've protected him by funneling play to wide areas. Now, just so happened, Hearts were probably going to play that way anyway with their back three. So now you're asking him, okay, we don't need to press forward when they initiate the game. You're just covering wide areas, right? Or if your player checks to get it, just follow him. Whereas when we think back to, you know, early on in the season where it's two wide wingers, there's one high striker, you've now got this huge central area. As a midfielder, you need to try and cover all this space. And yeah, it goes back to its management 101, right? Play to people's strengths. And yes, there's an element of, well, you need to meet the middle, Malik. If you're not going to run, if you're not going to press, that's different, right? But at the same time, if we're setting him up to not be successful, then you need to figure it out, or you don't play him, right? And I think if we were to do that, we'd have obviously negated all those attacking qualities, his aerial prowess. He scored some headers. You know, those are things that sometimes you have to trade off as a manager. And like I say, I think the beauty of this now is that we've reduced the size of the space he's got to defend just through a high line, through numbers, you know, through working better with the forwards. And then obviously giving him the license to get forward, get into the box, do what he wants to do. So it's that trade-off of, well, if you work hard for me this end, I'll let you off the leash to go attack the other. And I think we're getting the best of both worlds from him.
Absolutely. Martin, three little words, set piece goals. Two of them last night. I can't think when the last one was, never mind two in the same game. We have changed. I know we spoke, it felt like it went in corners specifically. It went from just out swingers all the time to just in swingers. In fact, it was against St Johnstone last week, wasn't it? We were up 2 weeks ago. We were up and it said, it feels like that's all we've done. Then we gradually noticed that Ryan Kent was coming to stand next to the taker. Sometimes we'd have a short one and we'd try and find another angle. Last night, we kind of blew all of that apart. I think it was great from the free kicks. The things I liked about it was obviously the variation. First of all, keeps defences guessing. They never know where to stand, where to sit deep. Will they come out or not? We've been so easy to defend against when you're just firing that ball into the box and they even know what way it's going to come in. But the thing I liked about it was the variation, first of all, but also for the first goal, the quickness of it. That's something I think we've been really, really guilty of in the past. We'll wait for Tav to trot over to the left-hand side. We'll wait for Barisic to trot over. Just that quick pass to Kent gave him the second, half a second that he needed just to find a little bit of space and float that ball in while the defence wasn't set. It is a big thing, I think, set pieces. We maybe make too much of it sometimes, but I think when we seen that last night, just that little bit of marginal gain that we got from them, you've seen the benefits of them were huge.
Yeah, you're not bringing doom and gloom to the door this week, are you, with your set piece
no,
chat?
Not.
Listen, it was an interesting thing when Beale came in. They just swapped over and we're getting in-swingers instead of out-swingers. Now, I love an in-swinging corner. Now and again, it's nice to break things up. And when you're one of the old firm, you have better players than anyone else, obviously. But if you're predictable, then it's still going to be a tough evening. And our complaints over the last, especially over the last 18 months, 2 years, is how predictable we've been. And set pieces have been a prime example of that. And I don't know what was said before last night, and I know there's obviously a few factors kind of ongoing, but that doesn't come from fresher legs or anything else. There's something changed there. That you're absolutely right. It's a sharpness of mind, an intensity, an urgency to just vary things up and keep teams like that guessing and just being unable to set up, because we know what we're going to do. We know they could have 18 corners all night, but we know exactly how they're going to look, and we can organise for that, right? We can absolutely set up for that. And it's no surprise that when we do mix things up, either in a dead ball situation or just in our patterns of play, results like that, performances like that last night will happen, because they won't be able to cope with that. But I don't know what's kind of changed that recently, because we were still absolutely hammering this for quite a while. And you're right, the length of time it takes for one fullback to cross to the other corner of the field. Again, it might be a small thing and a silly thing, but if you're an opposition defence, you've been through it, you get more time to just ensure that everyone is in place, surely, if you've got folk, you know, getting a bus over to take the corner kick. So keeping that absolutely rapid, it's such a huge thing in this country when teams book in for bed and breakfast against you pretty much all the time.
Yeah, Ali, what's your thoughts on that from a kind of coaching's perspective? Because I think the most noticeable difference when Beale came in was we changed to in-swinging corners, which is absolutely fine. But then to just suddenly decide in one game, right, we're going to do this. Would that be a sort of analysis type thing that we'll say we think we've identified that if we do this and we maybe change the depth of Hearts' defence, we can catch them on the hook? Or would that be something that they're sort of just working towards incrementally, and then they decide in a particular game, right, we're going to go for it? The other example that springs to mind was, let's bring in John McLaughlin against Dundee United specifically because he's good at set pieces. But was that specifically because we're expecting more set pieces from Dundee United because we've identified how good they are, or is that just let's try this out and see what happens? What would you say from your perspective? Is that a planned thing or just an incremental type improvement?
Yeah, I think from the scout report, I think the three big things you'd be looking for is how many's back. So Hearts last night, again, for my second goal, my notes say every player was in the box. So there's no one forward you need to worry about. So that's all 10. The next piece is, what does the goalkeeper like to do? Is he a liner? Is he a big aggressive guy who's going to come punch it? Is he, you know, do they have defenders who like to attack the ball? And then within that, the last piece would be, how do they defend, right? So if you look at last night, for the second goal, Kingsley literally has a bear hug on Morelos, right? Whereas Civic allowed Goldson to run his shoulder, which weirdly those two sort of collided, and that allowed Goldson to get the yard to nick the header back in. And then I'm trying to see my notes are here. It's the rolls, I think it was, the Tillman got away from for the finish. Again, just not very good at picking up at corner kicks. So whether that's a, okay, I want this guy to go and stand next to this player, or it's the other way around as footballers sometimes, you know, been situations where we'll say, okay, we'll see who marks you. You're marking a big player, all right, we'll try and get him out of the way.
Yep.
Try and move him from the back post to the front post so we can then get a little cross run. There was one corner right at the end, and I think Hearts players collided actually, and ended up hitting the bar, or the goalkeeper made a save, I think. And we basically split the runs where before under Gerrard, I mean, this is getting into the minutiae, right? But just real quick example, it was everyone stood in a line and then they would break. Whereas last night it seemed like, okay, we'll have someone short and we'll have someone back post, front post, and then we'll change it up. So, yes, there's 10 guys back, but all 10 have to defend us.
Yeah.
Not, well, we'll just lump it in the box and by virtue of numbers, they're going to head it away. You know, we need to make sure they're thinking. And I think for sure last night, that first goal really spooked them, which obviously made life easier for us after that, because now it seems like we're in control, you know?
Yeah, I think on that second one, it's quite interesting. I'm not sure, maybe the manager would correct us on that, but when you see Goldson making that wide run, it's quite late that he makes that. So maybe that is sort of, we'll drag those two players out, like you said, and we'll try and stretch it out. Not necessarily that he's expecting the ball. I think most people thought Barisic had went too deep with that ball, but not necessarily that he's stretching them out, but maybe he's just trying to create a little bit of space for the cross to then go to Tillman, for example. So it could, like you said there, it might not be the definite NFL, here is the detailed set playing that's going to be this man. It could just be, we want to create space for somebody to score, and then it gets there by whatever means. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Martin, you know, if there is one thing that I hate, it's being proved right. I really can't. I just find it so awkward.
You feel so embarrassed about it, don't you?
Oh, it's just the worst. I'm joking. But as John says here, massive difference, Kent having that free roll rather than Gio having him stuck on the wing. I think I said to you maybe, what was that, a month ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I'm not seeing this massive uptick in performance from Kent that others have. To me, what he had displayed up until that point, so through December in the Celtic game, etc., was some very good games, some games that he wasn't great in. But over the last 4 or 5 games, I think he's been very, very good in all of them. We've sort of seen that. He's not picking the ball up as deep as he did on that sort of left-hand side touchline at the halfway line. He's getting involved centrally. There was an example of the game at the away to St Johnstone, where he's picking the ball up right in the D pretty much and looking to lay the ball off in those sort of key areas. I think his role has been very, very crucial. We'll come on to talk about the three attackers as a whole, but Kent's role in there, he's still not getting the numbers that I think people will be happy with. I think that's two goals, two assists in the last 10. I think more people would say that's on the lower end of what we would want from an attacker in that position. But in terms of how he's looking, how he's moving, how we're able to get him on the ball in areas that I think he can have more of an impact, I think he's moved on another level again in the last few weeks.
Oh, there's no question he has. Certainly no question it's far improved from early in the season, just in terms of general play. I think you're right. He never really looked ultra comfortable in the role that Gio wanted to use him in. And like Kamara, he clearly has a hugely positive relationship with Beal. So that freedom impacts other measures of his game. His issue before, Adam, as you know, wasn't really where he was necessarily. It was his execution. You know, his shooting was a joke. I mean, it'd become a running joke about, you know, the Copeland rear being in severe danger at times. That's nothing to do with where you're. Well, it doesn't. It shouldn't be anything to do with where you're playing the pitch. But I wonder, and maybe Ali, a better place to answer this than me, that if you have someone exactly where they want to be with that freedom, that confidence, that happiness, that comfort, just returns to their normal game. So when they are in those areas, they're feeling far freer, far more confident, instead of the pressure he would have felt, I think, before. Not quite as free, not quite as mobile and as fluid as he had been under Gerrard, and therefore maybe snatching at things. He's just getting whatever brain function is involved with telling your body what to do, and that result just wasn't happening, which of course it is getting a little better just now. The numbers, you're right, aren't what a lot of people would demand, but I think they're getting there, if that makes any sense. And the performances look a lot more closer to providing more than they did at the start of the season. Kent's issue, other than the fact he is the type of player that will not do everything every week. It's just the kind of nature of the role at times. But Kent's issue at Rangers has been the price tag. That price tag for us post-2012, certainly post-2016, kind of means you have to be doing something every week that is game-changing at this level. Not in Europe necessarily, but against the absolute gunge that we have to come up against on a weekly basis. And that's not always been the case. He is in a fine, fine vein of form at the moment. That's the player that excites supporters, of course, and I'm not sure there's anyone quite like him. With that pace allied to the skill. We've got some skillful players. And again, if that keeps up, we're all happy. But what happens in the summer? Beale was quite cagey, unusually cagey today, Adam. Very unlike him. You kind of half expect him to just kind of read out the full email correspondence there's been on those contract negotiations. But he was a lot more coy today, which is probably no bad thing. But I didn't take that as being overly positive. But I guess we're just reading into things the way we want to, I suppose. You were there, weren't you?
Yeah. So I think he said he's got more clarity on the situation. With regards to Kent and Morelos' contracts, I personally in the room took that to mean, and he did say this a little bit later on, I've got more clarity than I'm making public, if that makes sense. Not necessarily I've got more clarity in the last week, 2 weeks, whatever. So I guess it remains to be seen what happens there. But yeah, he was more cagey and he was more aware of he'd possibly been contradicting himself, but I think we forget that the press conference is basically one big PR stunt, really. So we'll say things that maybe we want to get out there. We can't say other things. So, I think we do place a little bit too much stock in them sometimes, but I guess actions speak louder than words, and we'll see how things go. Ali, I'd like to talk about the front two, and I am calling it a front two. I feel like more often than not in this burst of games, Fashion Sakala has been a withdrawn centre forward for me. There have been points in games, most notably against Celtic, where he has played off the wing at various points in the game. But it sort of feels like it's Morelos, Sakala, and then Kent in behind at times. Whether it lines up that way, whether it's there for the full game, but it kind of feels like that. Last night, I thought the way that Morelos and Sakala played together as a strike partnership for points, I thought was fantastic. The way that they stretched, we had Sakala going left, going right, Morelos. You look at the goal that was offside, Sakala's goal there, and that to me is a sort of perfect summation of what they can do. I know Morelos was offside and jumped forward, but Morelos bringing the ball in, slipping it through for Sakala to go in behind and finish. We've waited a long time for Morelos to get a partner. I'm not necessarily saying this is it, this is what we're going to go with long term, but as we spoke about with Kent there, it makes a big difference when you've got two other players in that front three who are consistently bringing in the numbers. Sakala, I've seen some people saying, oh, he's this and he's that again last night, but I thought he did very, very well in the sort of perfect game for him, I would say. That sort of high line, lots of space, can run on, can finish without having to think about too much. I thought he was great as well, but more importantly, in terms of the combination there, how did you think that was last night? And is that something that you've been quite pleased with over the last few weeks?
Against that back three, it was excellent because there's lots of space, right? So when you've got lots of space there, they can really stretch, like you said, go left and right, play on the outside of them, a bit more freedom. I think when Hearts changed to, correct me if I'm wrong, it was more like a 4-4-2 at the end.
Yeah.
We started seeing Peel wide a little bit more. I guess it's like anything, right? If let's say we play Cantwell on that inside right and Kent and inside left, penetration has to come from somewhere, right? So if Alfie's checking towards the ball, all of a sudden you've now got this problem where everybody wants the ball, right? Which is brilliant. But if you get no one making runs and no one that has the ability to get in behind the back line, especially one that's going to squeeze up and give you the space, then you're going to have issues, right? Either you're shooting from distance or you're asking your fullbacks to you know, create the chances, which obviously we know ours can. But yeah, I think he looked really lively. I think the frustrating part is always those moments where falls to him 6 yards out and he balloons over the bar. But I think I've sort of made peace with that's yeah. the trade-off for the pace, for, you know, that invention. And I think this is the other part as a support we've really had to, I guess, sort of learn, is that's not going to be there every game, right? And it might be big away games like this, that this is where he comes into his own. I'm not saying he's going to be delighted with that, right? He has played a lot of football recently, but if you look at the games he's played best in, it's probably in those games, right, where there's a wee bit more space to attack. Long term, I think we need to maintain that role, right? So like I said, this idea, just playing with two creative boys underneath a striker, I think, you know, sometimes you have to be careful with that we're not overplaying.
Yeah.
But for sure, you know, playing with a two-man, twin strikers with Kent underneath them, I think it's worked excellently. I guess this is the next point to this. When Colak came on, Colak and Alfie doing that is not the same. No. They are not the same partnership. So this idea that, oh, well, they're two strikers, they'll just do the same thing. Again, we've got to be really careful how we approach that.
Absolutely. Martin, the Sakala thing, I do feel like it's less erratic than it has been. I think there are still moments, like, probably couldn't have been more erratic at points. I think Dundee United before he put in that goal. But I do feel like it is. Obviously, there's that sitter that he missed in the game last night. But even the two offside goals are, like, they're really, really good finishes. Like, one-on-one, yeah. Left foot, right foot. He can finish on both feet, but I wonder if this, and this is a question I asked the manager again, one of these players that was just never going to get a chance. You think about Cedric Itten, can you get in and get an 8 to 10 game run as a striker? Has our misfortune on the injury front given Sakala a little bit of an opening there that's allowed him to get as much consistency as a player like that possibly can and try and reduce those weaknesses and maximise his strengths?
Yeah. He has been the beneficiary of what we've been dealing with. I'm not sure it's necessarily less erratic, but it's more productive. So the higher end of yes. the Sakala range is we're seeing more of it, and it's reaping some reward for us. But there's still moments that sitter, for example. I'm not going to get out the hoary old cliches, but he is an interesting footballer. But that comfort, again, that belief that I think he will definitely take from Beale, he's part of the management structure that brought me in the first place. And yeah, issues with Gio being subbed in the final, blah, 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 after being a sub. Of course he would take a lot from that. I mean, you'd be crazy not to think that. But God, he still gives you, he still frustrates the life out of you. I get frustrated just by anyone who can't look across a line and remain onside. It absolutely does me in. But do we care when he's starting to give his numbers? Probably not.
Conscious of time, so we'll begin. We'll finish off by talking about Ross County. But just before I do, Ali, I wanted to get your thoughts on where we think Morelos is right now with the sort of wider support. And Martin, you can jump in as well if you want, because for me, I was quite comfortable with the prospect of Morelos going in the summer. He does go through these purple patches where he looks in form. We can argue that they seem to get less every year. I think it was a matter of weeks last year, but he's kept it up for a good few weeks this time round. Where do you think we stand with him? I think there's a lot of the fan base that still have a huge amount of love for him, and they want him to turn it around, and they want him to probably sign a new contract and be here and be the number one striker. But there is what was a sort of growing majority or growing minority towards the end of last year who were quite happy to cut our losses, didn't think we would be spending, I don't know, £30,000 a week or whatever on a new contract because he's a player that fitness was going downhill, etc. Are we now back in this cycle again of let's love him while he's hot? Or is there a more cynical approach here that we think we need to take? Where do you stand on it, and where do you think the sort of fan base are just now?
Well, I think one thing we can confirm is football's very cynical. So this idea that everybody's in love with him in the club right now, I'm not so sure. I think while he's playing well, everyone in the club's in love with him. But the minute he doesn't show up to something or he gets himself sent off, we go back into these sort of peaks and troughs again, right? So I think, like I mentioned earlier with Kamara, it's mutually beneficial, right? If he plays well, he gets a good move, right? If that's another contract with us, or that's a contract somewhere else where he can make himself more money, it's in his interest to score goals for us. So this idea that he's just sort of seen out the summer, I don't necessarily think it's the case. I think he himself would want to do it. Again, on Beale's side as well, he's got the ability now to say, well, if you keep, you know, doing the business for us, then of course we can pay you what you want. So again, it's that dance as to, well, how long does this last? You know, he scored a couple of goals, but we're not, you know, this isn't five hat tricks in a row here. So I think we need to sort of temper it with he's getting better. He certainly looks more interested, certainly looks more at it. I guess my bigger concern, mate, is always the sort of circus that surrounds him. Now, we should be old enough and wise enough to know now, the minute he leaves, that circus will probably attach itself to someone else, right? It just happens with Rangers. Personally, though, I would prefer a striker who's a little bit more of a hitman, like just does his business by scoring and isn't so much of a sort of outlandish figure, a hate figure like him. Not that that's his fault, to be fair, but there's a lot of baggage with Alfie. There's a lot of history there, even for him only being here, a relatively short period of time. But personally, for me, I'm completely fine with him moving on. If he was to stay, I'd have bigger issues with how you then manage a second striker because he can't play 60 games, and that's what this team does, right? Yeah. So how do you manage that second striker? I think that's really the question that no manager really has solved since he signed. So I guess that would be the bigger concern for me, is how does he form as part of a squad? Because as we've saw, he needs these 6-7 games in a row to get up to speed, and that's not modern football. You can't be that way anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, Martin, as Ali said, there is obviously that little bit of pantomime villain thing about them, and we've seen it last night. Out of all the people that I thought would be getting involved in something like this, I was very surprised it was Neil McCann, I have to be honest. I don't know quite what was going through his head. You can look at it logically and you think, yes, Morelos has has he even over-celebrated? But because of a VAR decision, he's celebrated, but he's still in the Hearts penalty box when he slides over. I don't get how that makes him an idiot, particularly because in his first goal, he was 2 minutes, 2 metres away from Hearts Hearts fans when he celebrated. Goldson was face-to-face with Hearts fans when he was celebrating. I don't quite understand why he was picked out. It'd be really interesting to see if Neil McCann can explain his comments. I think, as Michael Beale said today, it's probably one that he would regret more than Morelos regretting. I hate VAR controversy. I hate this type of controversy as well, but I just found this one a little bit strange, particularly because Neil McCann has been one of the very, very, very few Rangers-minded or Rangers-favoured pundits who has had zero or minimal criticism from Rangers fans, and now it's come his way.
God, there's a whole sorry podcast in this, I think. The fun police and the celebration police and all of that is interminable. It is a combustible game. It is drama. It is a bit of pantomime. And he plays that role. He plays it in every ground there is. He seems all right with playing that role at Fir Park and St Mirren. I'm sure I've seen plenty of things thrown near him. Now, McCann tried to I think, reverse engineer or whatever, or kind of justify it by referencing, you know, the Neil Lennon incident from what, 11, 12 years ago at Tynecastle, that it can be quite a hugely atmospheric place, very intense. It was a bit odd, right, because of the VAR decision, and yeah, that has changed the theatre of football a wee bit, and celebrations and whatever, and he was just having fun with it. The game was done, there was no edge, there was no needle left in it. I mean, you're right, he was miles away, really, from the actual touchline. And it is unlike McCann. I think fans were very thin-skinned with punditry, and I have every... I would support fans in getting outraged when pundits are just wrong. They're factually incorrect about their knowledge of the laws of the game, for example, talking about penalty incidents, or they're wrong about history, and they come up with something that's just completely ridiculous. And any Rangers fan of any age will know there are plenty of examples of that throughout the years. Where I tend to get a wee bit embarrassed is when we start to have a serious reaction to people's opinions, because whether they played for Rangers or not, they are allowed them, and it is just someone's opinion, and they don't all have to have the same opinions as us. And that's not a matter of fact. It's not someone's been wrong. McCann looks stupid on this occasion. The complication, McCann, is that he will be employed by Rangers at some point.
Yeah.
Well, has been employed by Rangers, and can that continue because of the choice of language? And I think that's a genuine consideration for the club to have. You can say, did Manolis really need to do that? Did we, you know, he could take a very moralistic position about, you know, that could have incited a riot, as you know that some pundits and some players can. But Neil McCann loved the celebration on one famous day, I'm pretty sure, back in May 1999. So it's all just a bit silly. Would we be talking about that if it was fashion? Of course we would not.
No.
We're talking about it because Mireille goes back to Ali's point about the baggage there. There are a lot of pundits, certainly of Rangers, ex-Rangers players as pundits, who don't have a lot of time for them at all. Not on the mic, but off it, in my experience over the last year or so of hanging around the media area. So that's obviously kind of slipped out. As for Alfie's future, no, I think he will go in the summer. I think it's a question of trust, and we have been through these purple patches before. They are wonderful. They don't last. We have had our money's worth for that £1 million and then some and then some. We probably should have cashed in our chips when he was at his hottest, but he's a very, very popular, very talismanic figure around the club and around the support, so I understand why that wasn't done. But the manager seems very clear that he's getting another number nine, and that would mean that Čolak would be binned without much time under Beal, and I'm not entirely sure that's going to happen. So I would not expect him to hang about.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Ali, I know you have to jump off, but if we've got 90 more seconds of your time, in terms of Todd Cantwell, we've not really spoken about him yet. He came on last night and I thought he showed some lovely, lovely touches. I thought just gliding about the pitch. I was in my head caveating it with, well, the game's done, it's 3-0, but where Rangers want to get to, the game is hopefully going to be done more often than not when these substitutes are coming on. So I don't think that's really a very fair comparison. I was very happy with how he did last night, and I think the manager has done that quite well. He gave everybody about 75 minutes last night, I guess on the working assumption that two or three of the ones that came on will probably see starting at the weekend. You can sort of see in your head Sakala away to Tynecastle, Todd Cantwell coming in at Ross County. You can see that as a sort of logical thing to do. What's been your thoughts on him? I know we've only seen him for, I think that is about just over an hour, maybe 70 minutes or so over the two games, but what's your thoughts on him, and is he a candidate for starting on Saturday again, do you think?
Absolutely. And again, it's you mentioned there, horse for courses. You know, this lad's a dribbler. He's going to try and take people on in a similar vein to Kent. So if you have two of them, now that allows you to get runners around them, overlaps, get the fullbacks a little bit higher. Whereas, you know, let's say, go back to, again, start of the season, really your only ball carriers were maybe Tillman from deep and Kent wide. Now you've got this sort of new dimension, right, for a third player in there that likes the ball at feet. I think we're going to have to be patient with him because, as we saw, and again, it was 3-0, didn't really matter, but the chance that Shankly had start with his turnover, right, dribbling into pressure, ball turned over, he's now got two guys trying to protect him in Lundstrom and Kamara, I think it was, and just too big a space in the cover. He couldn't do it, and like I say, Shankly got the chance. So I think that's where we need to maybe, you know, he needs to work himself back into things. But again, terrific footballer, clearly very, 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 very talented, technically very good. It'd be interesting to see if he's got goals in him. That's the one thing for me I'm not so sure about. Is he going to get enough shots? Is he going to beat enough people? Or is he, again, in that mould of a creator? I'm really interested to see him. And again, against a team that's going to sit in, probably camp at 5-4-1, this is going to be absolutely ideal for a player like that. Get him between the lines, get him combining with the forwards. I'm looking forward to watching him.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll finish the show with a comment from Slubs. Looking forward to seeing Raskin. Aren't we all? as of this morning, when at the press conference, I don't think the work permit had came through. I'm not sure what
don't
that
do
means.
This, Jardel, to me again, please.
I'm not sure what that means in terms of training. Something in my brain thinks you're not even allowed to train if the work permit is not there. So I'm going to say that's unlikely for any kind of debut on Saturday, but I equally didn't think Todd Cantwell would start the game last week, so who knows. I think the manager is very quick to get people in. If you're ready, there's no time to waste. If not, maybe more likely with a 3 week of training, we'll see him against Partick Thistle, so we'll see how that goes. But anyway, that will do us for tonight. A very enjoyable one, talking about an enjoyable game. Fingers crossed it is the same next week. Martin, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure, pal. Thank you.
And Ali, thank you very much. Good to have you on Extra.
Smash, mate. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
And as always, thank you all for listening or watching. David will be back on Monday to recap the game at the weekend, as you can see by the ticker down the bottom. If you haven't signed up to Heart and Hand on Patreon, you can do that now. You can listen to up to 5 podcasts a day for just $1.99 per month. If you prefer the free shows, as I said, David will be back on Monday, and I will be back this time next week with another live Extra. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.